Now Jesus says in his word in Matthew 24, 42, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." Now this particular verse is dealing specifically with the rapture, but it applies every single day of our lives. His plan is perfect. His plan is eternal. His plan is fulfilled. We don't know when, we don't know how, and we don't know necessarily even why, but he does. He knows so from the foundation of the world. We do not know our part in his eternal plan, but once again, he does, and he knew such from the foundation of the world. Our eternal, immortal, almighty, sovereign God brings together many parts to a glorious end to display his plan, his power, and his providence toward us. If he calls you, will you be ready? Will you stand up and answer the call to be part of his miraculous plan? Or will you be like one not watching for him to come and be left behind not accomplishing your part of that call? Or at least being chastised to bring you to the faith needed to have the obedience to accomplish your call, to glorify God in his holy plan? Today we look at a part of the birth of Christ that is not all that often looked at. We know the virgin birth in Bethlehem. We know the time was right for the Messiah to come based on the 70 weeks of Daniel. We know all the stories of Luke chapter 2. And yet God needed to prepare a very apostate Israel for the coming of the Messiah. God would send the spirit of Elijah to prepare the way of Jesus Christ. Now, how he did it would catch one particular person totally by surprise. In today's verses, we'll read of a man totally unprepared when his Lord came. He's a spiritually righteous man, but only with an earthly understanding. He was a faithful man, but he had no vision. He was merely accomplishing the task he was called to do. And he ended up being a chastised man. But with this chastisement came a renewed understanding, a renewed spirit, and a renewed joy in his service. A man who proves that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And a man who proves that we are the same yesterday, today, and forever in our unbelief apart from Jesus Christ empowering us. Let us look today at the birth of John the Baptist and a man teaching us to be ready when our Lord doth appear. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. We're going to read from verses 5 to 25. And I said Luke chapter 2, I meant Luke chapter 1, I'm sorry. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 5. "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God, in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall even be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them, and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked upon me, to take away my reproach among men. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you use us imperfect people in your glorious work, that you use us to accomplish your glorious task. And Lord, we receive the blessings of being used. We receive the blessings of seeing your almighty power. We receive the joy of knowing that you are with us. Lord, help us to be ready. Help us, if you call us, to have the strength, the wisdom, the ability to be ready to accomplish whatever you tell us to do. Guide us, direct us, correct us, and chastise us when we need to be, Lord, that we may receive the joy of being used by you in your service. Lord, it is nothing that we can do our own. We see that in Zacharias. But all things can be done through Christ which strengthens us. Let us remember that in this Christmas season, and let us be prepared for whatever you have for us as we prepare for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ask all of us your precious sons their name. Amen. Now, if we look at the words here, we see Zacharias is a righteous priest. He was blameless. Being blameless meant he studied God's word so he could walk in God's word, he could understand God's word, and he could obey God's word. And as he studied, he would know that the time of the Messiah was at hand. He felt, looking at this, that it would be a glorious time. He felt that he would be able to see this happen. He was full of joy knowing that he was going to be here when the Messiah came. Reading that, as long as God didn't strike him dead quickly, it was the time for him to show up. But he's an old man. He's beyond his age being able to do much. He figures, there is no way that God can use me. He forgot about God being sovereign. He forgot that miraculous meant that it was something beyond man's ability. He forgot history as Abraham brought forth Isaac beyond childbearing years, thinking himself that God had separated him because he had no son. In the time, that would be a shame. Not having a son meant God had put you aside. God had not blessed you for some reason. And so he's thinking, if God hadn't blessed me before, why should he bless me now? I have done something to displease him. And he went so far as to mock the message. So unable to speak thanksgiving in faith, he would be unable to speak anything. How many of us are like Zacharias? Do we think the Lord is coming back soon? Do we look at this glorious, godly world and think that everything is good and God has no reason to return? We look at this world, we look at Matthew 24, we look at Romans 1, we look at Israel returning back to lands, we realize the time is ripe. We realize Christ is going to return quickly. We see the signs of the time. We expect the rapture soon. We look forward to seeing this glorious event, just like Zacharias looked forward to seeing the Messiah born. If an angel came to you, or the Spirit led you to do something miraculous to prepare the way of the Messiah returning, would you be ready to accept that call? Would you, or would you say, there's no way I could be used in this, and refuse? Forgetting that the less likely you are of being able to accomplish the call given to you, the more likely you are of being called, because that meant that God's power would be displayed through you. As long as you were faithful. And Zacharias was faithful. Now, Zacharias had another special thing here. Zacharias was the first person who had received any vision from God in 400 years. Malachi was written 400 years prior. Now we have 400 silent years in which God spoke through no prophet. God spoke through no priest. God gave no visions, no miracles. Israel turned their back on God. They become apostate. God then turned his back on Israel. So in 400 years, nobody's heard anything. Now, all of a sudden, Zacharias hears the message from the angel. And he would know the truth of Malachi 3:1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. 400 years later, he's called to sire this particular messenger. Now, Malachi didn't say how the spirit of Elijah was going to come. So, Zacharias didn't know how, but Zacharias was now called to sire this messenger. An angel is sent by God to give this instruction. Zacharias now knew the plan. He knew John the Baptist was supposed to, become in the spirit of Elijah, and he was called to sire it. But he mocked that message. But chastised for being for doubting, he then was used because he became obedient through that chastisement. Now, right now, this world is beyond anything I could have predicted 10 years ago. It is grown apostate quicker than anything I've ever seen in my life. It is unbelievable how far we have turned back from God's message. So, Christ is coming soon. We know that. I can't define soon. I don't know what soon means. God does. His plan is eternal. Mine's not. But we need to be ready. So, if he needs something to be done before he returns to prepare the world, I don't know what that'll be. But if he does, and he calls me to do it, the question is, will I be wise and proclaim his glory his way, or be struck dumb for refusing to speak? That's the big question every one of us have to ask. So to be used in God's great plan, we must do three things. First of all, be faithful. Second of all, be ready. And then third, be obedient. So being faithful, we are stewards of God's magnificent grace. We're stewards of the miraculous power that he gives this world. And 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Zacharias was a faithful steward of God's grace. Zacharias ensured he accomplished God's call on his life. Zacharias honored God, even as society would think that God did not honor him. Once again, in Jewish culture, children were thought of as a blessing from God. If you had no children, they thought that you were cut off from God. Zacharias was not bitter. Might have been not happy, but he's not bitter, and he served God faithfully even in that case. He received his great call as he served God in his normal call. Now, burning incense signified prayer in the temple during the evening sacrifice. The whole multitude of faithful Israel were praying outside the temple at this time. Faithful Israel seeking God's face. Faithful Israel proclaiming God's glory. Faithful Israel obeying God's command to pray in God's temple. Do you desire to be called to God's great work? Be faithful to God's Spirit in God's house, which today is the church. Seeking to be filled with His Spirit in His house over being filled with the spirits in Satan's bars. Notice, the call was in a temple. It wasn't in some nightclub or bar. You have to be faithful where God calls you to be faithful. Now, notice that the angel came to Zacharias in the temple. It was an angel. It wasn't God himself. The glory of God had left the temple in Ezekiel's time. Because apostate Israel was so bad, the glory of Israel left and will not return until after the millennium. So God couldn't speak to Zacharias directly. He had to send an angel because his glory wasn't there, but an angel he did send. Now, our call requires us to be faithful today if we desire to be used tomorrow. Again, how will he call us? I don't know. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside us. Zacharias did not have that because the Old Testament didn't happen. That didn't happen until the church was established. So, if this call comes to you, either by an angel coming to you or by the Spirit drawing you, you have to be ready. And we need to be faithful today if we want to be used tomorrow. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 to 10. So 1 Peter chapter 4, starting verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise in the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live in the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our lives may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. We walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excessive wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excessive riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so ministers the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We're to be in the church. We're to be good stewards of it. We're to build each other up in the church. Be ready to be used as the church and as individuals, however God calls us. But we need to be faithful. Notice here, we are called God's stewards. We are still called to prayer today. We must hearken to the Spirit with those who do pray, not fall prey to those who calls to join them in the sins of the flesh. Remember the last verse of Romans chapter 1? They do things not, that they know not only are death, but they have joy in knowing that you join them in the things that cause death. No, misery loves company. The world wants us to pull away from what brings us joy to their misery so they can justify their misery. But if you don't fall prey, have faith. God may use you as an oracle of God to accomplish his part of his eternal plan. That's what we need to be. We need to be oracles of God. So, be faithful. If you're faithful, then God may use you for some greater thing. If you're not faithful, he won't. Zacharias was faithful. Now, being faithful, you need to be ready. So Zacharias being faithful, he sought to honor God by accomplishing his call. He sought to learn and keep God's commandment, but he had lost a sense of the eternal majesty of God. His focus came off the almighty, immortal, eternal, sovereign creator of the entire universe under the day-to-day work and operation of a temple. The means to the end became the ends to the means. He who created the stars on day four certainly couldn't give Zacharias a child in his old age. Now, Zacharias should have known better. He did study the scriptures. He knew the scriptures. He knew in Genesis 17:17, Abraham laughed at the idea of having Isaac with him and Sarah 90 years old. And yet, Isaac was born. If he could do it with Abraham, I think he could probably do it with Zacharias. Zacharias had lost the sense of the eternal in the mundane operations and the day-to-day work as a priest. He sees the angel who says, "Fear not." He hears Gabriel quote Malachi 4:6, signifying what Zacharias and Elizabeth would do in helping bring the Messiah to Israel. Now, does he have a sense of wonder, a sense of awe, a sense of worship? Just seeing the angel will be enough for me. But now he gets this call. It's an amazing call. It's an amazing call being part of the Messiah's plan. He doesn't have a sense of wonder. He mocks the call. His question was not seeking an understanding, as Mary did in Luke 1:34, of how to accomplish an accepted call as a virgin, a reasonable question. It was pure doubt, as if God's arm was too short. Gabriel answered Mary's call tenderly, calming her doubts, showing that he knew the heart of Mary. He also knew the heart of Zacharias. Zacharias was doubting. Gabriel immediately rebuked Zacharias, reminding him of who sent Gabriel to Zacharias. He had lost the sense of eternity by focusing on the present. How many of us can do the same thing right here? We can all do that very easily. Focusing on our day-to-day faithful work, losing focus on the fact that we serve an infinite, eternal God. Washing dishes like Martha instead of enjoying our service at the Master's feet like Mary did. Losing the joy of service by focusing on the work rather than the God who accepts our work in him and rewards us for that work. Romans 12:1 tells us to be a living sacrifice to God. Now, we think living sacrifice is being someone burned to the stake. We think living sacrifice means someone going through serious problems, and it may happen. You may be called to do that, but it doesn't necessarily mean that. Zacharias was called to be a living sacrifice, giving his body to do something miraculous and impossible. He was called to be a living sacrifice to sire a child in his old age, something beyond his understanding, beyond his capability, beyond anything that he'd ever thought of. But can God do that? Living sacrifice means, Lord, you use my body however you see fit. Zacharias should have praised God and fell prostrate in the ground for this. But he was called to sacrifice the body, and he refused it. Accomplishing part of God's call, that people would know it was of God, was what God wanted Zacharias to do. You know, if someone is 25 years old, sires John the Baptist, 25-year-olds do that all the time. 90-year-olds don't do that all the time. It must be something different. This John the Baptist is different from anyone else. Look at his parents. They're old. But there's got to be something about this. God was using the miraculous to prove his message. And Zacharias mocked it. Now, Gabriel would use this miraculous thing of bringing on John the Baptist to comfort Mary in her question. Luke 1:37, Gabriel to tell Mary that barren Elizabeth was to have a child. Now, Mary would understand that. She was well beyond her childbearing years. But Elizabeth was to have a child. And Luke 1:37 says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Now, Mary, I know we're talking about a virgin birth. I know you've studied biology. I know you understand biology. I understand that you have no idea how this can possibly happen. And you're looking at me, and you're looking for wisdom. But Mary, it's going to happen. The Holy Ghost is the sign. And you know what? Elizabeth is already conceived. Elizabeth is beyond any kind of childbearing years. Elizabeth cannot have a child, and guess what? She is. So Gabriel was using this miraculous birth to comfort Mary in her miraculous birth. He pulls all these strings together. So, I ask you, are you truly a living sacrifice to God? Are you faithfully serving Him daily right now? Are you willing to do something that is humanly impossible for His glory, fully trusting in His ability to do it through you? No, that's a miraculous thing. Miraculous thing is not something I can do. If I can do it, it's not a miracle. It's a work of George. God is not glorified with the work of George. God is glorified by work of Christ working through George in a way that George could not do it on his own, thereby giving glory to God who called George to do it. We all want to do things based on our own ability. That gives us the glory. God wants to do it based on His ability, not ours, which gives Him the glory. Isaiah was called by God. Listen to the proper response to a call seemingly beyond our ability from Isaiah 6:8. "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' Then said I, 'Here am I, send me.'" Isaiah accepted in faith. Mary accepted in faith. Both were ready for their next step. Zacharias mocked. He was not ready. When the call comes, if the call comes, if He asks you to be a living sacrifice for His glory, will you be ready? So, Zacharias was faithful. Zacharias was not ready. But Zacharias became obedient. We need to be obedient to our call if we're going to glorify God. So, Zacharias, being not ready, was chastised to bring him to obedience. Establishing Zacharias' guilt, Gabriel gives him his name and his position. I would not have wanted to have been in Zacharias' shoes when Gabriel was speaking this. Zacharias is doubting the angel who sits at the right hand of God, who is sent by God to give God's message to you, and you are doubting me? That would not want to be me. I'd be looking for how can I get under this altar and hide. But that's exactly what Gabriel was telling him. Now, if you can't accept, speak acceptance and praise, you will speak nothing at all. You will be silent until John's birth as a sign to people and a reminder to you. If you refuse, there's going to be consequences. If you refuse, God will bring you back to obedience if He chooses to use you, or He will cut you off, one or the other. But if you turn at the rebuke, God will use you. That's the important thing. Zacharias did turn at the rebuke. Now, we see here chastisement does not necessarily mean rejection. It is to place a child of God back into a proper relationship with God as an understanding of who your Heavenly Father is. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 11. Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 5. "And ye have forgotten the exhortation, which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards, and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits, and live? For they verily, for a few days, chasten us after our own pleasure." After their own pleasure, excuse me. "But He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Gabriel was sent by God with God's message under God's authority to have Zacharias receive God's call. Zacharias was struck dumb for being dumb, basically, as he saw the error and the power of God through the angel Gabriel. He came out to a confused people, showing he had seen a vision. Still faithful, notice he continued his work. He continued his course until the end of his days. Then he returned home. He remained faithful. Then, in obedience, he did sire John the Baptist. And his obedience gave joy to Elizabeth. Notice she said she talked about her shame being taken away. She had her son. Her shame was gone. She was now considered blessed in Jewish society. The result of his ultimate obedience, John the Baptist was born. Notice that the relatives tried to name him Zacharias by Jewish custom. This is later. But John the Baptist is born. They're going to name him Zacharias. Elizabeth says, No. His name is John. Well, they're thinking, Elizabeth, you've overstepped your bounds. That father's name is Zacharias. His son's name is Zacharias. They immediately go to Zacharias. Zacharias! Look what Elizabeth's trying to do. Isn't his name Zacharias? He asked for something, and he wrote, his name is John. As soon as he did that, showing his ultimate obedience, showing his call, his voice came back that quick. And the first thing he did was praise God, showing the results of his obedience. Now, Luke 1, chapter 67 through 80, shows him full of the Holy Ghost, prophesying and praising God about his son. Turning at God's rebuke, his obedience brought a great blessing. I'd recommend you read the rest of chapter 1 to see. We're not going to go into it, but just trust me. When you see his obedience, he can't speak. He's dumb the whole time. And as soon as he says his name is John, showing his ultimate obedience to God in naming John the Baptist, God then blessed him, gave him his voice back, and he spent the rest of his days praising God because of that great call. If you have received a great call, and if you held back, being faithful but not ready, if you're chastised, remember, it is to treat you as a son to bring you back to a proper relationship with your heavenly Father. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, obey your call, give glory to God, and he will do great things through you. You will be blessed. Your labors won't be in vain, and you will praise God and draw others to him, just as Zacharias did with John the Baptist. So looking at all this, Zacharias was faithful. He worked, and he loved the tree that he was called to tend. Once called to a spiritual forest, he couldn't see it for the trees he was working with in this world. Faithful to his small call, he was not ready for a great work for God's glory. Being dumb and not listening to Gabriel, he missed the wisdom of preparing the way for the birth of Jesus Christ, and was struck dumb until he yielded to the Spirit and obeyed, bringing forth John the Baptist. If you are called to accomplish something great for God, you've already been found faithful as a steward. He won't call you to some great call if you have not been faithful in your whatever call he's given you. God has chosen you to prepare the way for some step in his plan. Will you be like Isaiah and say, here am I, send me? Or will you see the impossibility of it all and say, who, me? Romans 10, 14 through 15 says this. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. We preach as empowered by God. If called to prepare the way of Jesus Christ and his return, open your mouth, empowered by his Spirit, to proclaim the great and mighty day of the Lord. Reject that call as too great for you? You may be struck dumb as one who is not ready, or chastised to make yourself ready that you may then obey. John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus Christ. God found a faithful man to bring him forth. There weren't many faithful men at the time. Jesus asks in Luke 18:8, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Zacharias was faithful and looked for Christ to come. But he was not ready to be used. If called, are you faithful and will you be ready? If chastised for his glory, the question then becomes, will you become bitter or will you become better? Zacharias recognized the reason he was chastised. He became better, and he praised God for it. It's so easy for us to become bitter. I'm better than all these other people. Why are you chastising me? He's chastising you to make you ready for some greater call. If you look in the Bible, everyone who's used in a great way went through many serious trials to make sure they were ready. That's what we need to be ready for. Jesus Christ is returning soon. Let us be faithful in whatever call we have right now. Let us be ready to do some impossible call to prepare the way, saying to God, here am I, send me. Being a living sacrifice, willing and ready to do anything he asks in obedience. If needed, accept chastisement, obey, and thank God that he still considers you his son or his daughter, and he still treats you as a child, and he's still willing to bring you back to obedience, and he can then use you. And then we'll see something great. Is something going to happen here? I have no idea. I'm not God. You don't want me as God. I'm not qualified for the job. If he calls you, though, be ready for it. Be obedient and do it, and he will do something great through you. So with that, let's turn to hymn 473 and sing. What we need to do is, where he leads, I'll follow. He's kind to the erring one, faithful is he. If we err, he's faithful and just to correct us of our errors. He's faithful and just to chastise us to bring us back to obedience. When he does so, give him thanks for it. He's treating you as a child of God. And accept and whatever call he's given you. And I don't know what it is. Your gifts are different than mine. My gifts are different than yours. He'll have different callings for each one. And if he calls you for some great work, you're going to think it's impossible. And without Christ, it would be. But that's the glory of it all. You could be used in some great, glorious, impossible call to prepare the way for the Messiah. What more could you ask for? Zacharias, when Gabriel came down, said, who, me? Reasonable response was lack of faith. Well, he was chastised for it. And then he said, here am I, send me. So that's the thing. When you are rebuked, will you be willing to do that? Will you be willing to say, Lord, I understand now. Here am I, send me. And if you do so, he will use you. He's faithful and just. Whatever call it is, it may just be for your neighbor across the street. It may be for a revival. Well, we're a living sacrifice. What that means is we don't choose what we're going to do. We do what he calls us to do. So as we get ready to enjoy some of God's bounty, ask yourself, am I faithful to what I'm doing right now? Am I faithful to whatever call he's given me? We might think it's insignificant and meaningless. Well, if it's insignificant and meaningless, maybe God's given it to you to see if you're going to be faithful to do something great and mighty. Are you faithful to it? Okay, good. Now, are you ready? If he does call you for something bigger, I got to wash some dishes. No. I've called you to come to the seat of Christ. We're about to burn up all those dishes. Leave them. Are you willing to be obedient and do that? You have to be ready to it. If you're not, ask God to give you that faith, give you that power, give you that strength. And then ask God to do whatever you want to with me. I am your sacrifice. You have done so much for me. I'm offering my body to you, which is nothing in comparison, but you have it. And then accept whatever call it gives you. And with that, we'll go to prayer for one verse. Ask God for wisdom. Ask God for guidance. And after Rich plays a verse, I'll close us. Heavenly Father, we're a stiff-necked people. We want to do things in the ways that we understand. Lord, you are creator of all heaven and earth. You created the stars in day four. I can't even comprehend how that's possible, and yet you did it. And Lord, we realize that you can do anything. And Lord, let us be living sacrifices, giving our lives, our bodies, everything in this physical world to you for your glory, that you may use us in however way you choose. If it be miraculous, praise God. If it be to burn on a stake, praise God. If it be to do some great thing like Zacharias did, praise God. Lord, let us be those sacrifices. Where you lead, we will follow. And Lord, when we say, who, me? Chastise us, that we may see your great glory, that we may then say, here am I, send me. And Lord, let us be sent for your great glory. Let us see the joy of your service. Let us be used in some great and mighty way to prepare the way of the Messiah. And Lord, great and mighty in your glorious way, not in our way of thinking. And Lord, let us not worry about our abilities or talents, because if you call us, you will empower us. If you call us, you will work through us. And Lord, if we could do it on our own, it wouldn't be a miracle. Lord, let us do things to glorify your name in however you call us. If there's anybody here who's not saved, Lord, they have no idea what I'm talking about right now. And Lord, I pray that today is the day you'd speak to their hearts. Today is the day you'd say, today is the day of salvation. And they would come to me, and I would show them exactly from your word how you can miraculously save them. Once again, it's something that's impossible in our own, Lord, but you can miraculously do it. And Lord, let us now enjoy our fellowship as we go to the afternoon service and look at how to be ready and obedient. We ask it all in your precious Son's name. Amen.